Size Content Marketing Show, bringing you training, insights, and tools to help turn your size company into a real user magnet with targeted content strategies. Hey everyone, welcome to the episode number 15 of the Size Content Marketing Show, the podcast for size founders, CEOs, and marketers who want to start using content to attract more users. My name is Pavel Grabowski. I'm the founder of UserMagnet.io, a content marketing agency for B2B SaaS companies, and twice a month I'm interviewing SaaS founders and marketers about unique content strategies they're using to grow their business. And today we're going to discuss developing your tone of voice in writing. So let's get started. I'm sure there are websites or blogs or maybe even specific people whose writing you follow. There's something that attracts you to it and resonates with you. It makes you read their posts and long for more. And quite often that something is actually their tone of voice. It's the way they communicate with you and the words they use to explain whatever problems or issues their content is about. And in this episode, I'm talking with one of my favorite writers, Rachel Foster, about different ways you could use to develop your own or your company's tone of voice and use it to connect and engage with your audience. So if you're interested in learning how you could create content that stands out because it doesn't sound like everyone else, but it sounds exactly like you, then this episode is for you. As always, you can find detailed show notes for this episode on our site at usermagnet.io/episode15, and that's a digit 15. And so, without any further ado, here's the interview. Hey, Rachel, great to have you with us. How are things?
Good. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to talk to your audience today and share some insights with them.
Awesome. So listen, let's get started. We're going to talk about tone of voice. It's one thing I kind of get a feeling many people don't pay much attention to, or many marketers don't pay that much attention to and don't realize its importance. But it's actually incredibly important element of that building that builds the connection with your audience, right?
Yes, it is.
So, but before we get to that, can you tell us more about yourself? And as I always ask on the podcast, give us the story of you, of Rachel to date.
Sure. So my name is Rachel Foster, and my company is Fresh Perspective Copywriting, and I write copy and content for B2B technology companies. Kind of my specialties are kind of helping them take complex messages and turn them into something clear that their audience will relate to.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So, I can attest to our audience, you have a fantastic tone of voice, and I mentioned to you before we hit record, it's what I admire about the way you write, is you always stay right in between casual and conversational tone and being professional at the same time, which isn't actually that easy. So that's why I wanted to talk to you about the tone of voice. So listen, let's begin at the beginning. What actually is a tone of voice in writing?
Sure. So a tone of voice is, it refers to, when it comes to marketing, it refers to what you say in writing, not necessarily okay. What you say in your spoken words. And it's how you present yourself to your audience. And you could think of it as not necessarily what you say, but how you're saying it. So for example, if you're out on the internet and you're looking for a recipe for a casserole or something, you could read one by Julia Child, and that's going to sound totally different than something that Doug Kitchen puts out, mm-hmm. even though they could have the same recipe, but the tone is completely different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But so if you were like to explain, I'm really looking for the right word, is like the benefits of having that, of you know, developing the tone of voice that actually, even though you speak about similar things than your competitor, actually sets you apart.
So you want to work on your tone because it shows the personality of your company and how you're different from your competitors. Another big thing that does is it humanizes your brand and it makes you more relatable. And if you have a lot of the B2B companies and SaaS companies struggle with like a stiff formal tone because they think that they need to sound really professional, and they think that because they're speaking to business people that they have to be very formal and professional. But that actually comes across as kind kind of boring. So mm-hmm. if you're a little bit more casual, if you show your passion, if you relate to your target audience, and that makes you more human and more relatable, and people will actually want to read what you have to say.
Absolutely. Do you find that brands are sometimes afraid to go casual and drop that very professional, but at the same time, incredibly dry tone of voice? Do you find that it's very often just a fear of, oh, we might just sound like, you know, unprofessional is probably that's the best way to put it.
Yeah, I think some brands are definitely afraid of, you know, making their voice more casual, or maybe not necessarily everybody in the company. There's usually some people who know that they need to be more relatable and use more relatable language, but there's other people in the company who just don't want to go there. Mm-hmm. And so the best thing you could do is maybe put together a sample of what you would like to sound like and explain it to other people in your company. You know, say, I feel like using this type of language really shows our passion. I feel that all of our competitors are sounding really boring. And if we use more accessible language, we will be more relatable to our target audience, and that could help you kind of move your voice in the right direction.
Absolutely. So speaking about this putting tone of voice into some sort of example, are there actually like common elements in a tone of voice that, you know, because I'm a kind of I can imagine a lot of listeners would actually be wondering, like, but yeah, what exactly is the tone of voice? Is that, you know, because we're talking about sounding casual, sounding professional, etc. So are there like common elements or factors that affect tone of voice?
So in general, you want to use language that your customers use, not necessarily language that your corporate executives are using. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I like to do when I'm researching projects for clients is I like to learn who their target audience is, and then I might go and, you know, check out how these people, you know, talk about themselves. You know, what are they saying on social media? What are the words that they're using? Mm-hmm. What publications do they read? A good thing to do is, if you want to get the language of your customers, is to go and look at your testimonials from your customers, because those are the words that they're using to describe you. And you'll likely find a lot of things that you're not using yourself, and really great words and phrases that you could add to your own marketing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then, and how do you document that?
Sure. So,
because the reason I ask is, like, we sometimes get asked, like, oh, could you, like, you know, when you're writing for us, could you also formalize the tone of voice? But, but I'm you know, and we do, and we create a document, and very often we deliver a document, and you know, we might get a response like, oh, that's very long, and, you know, that's very detailed, and you know, but that's what it is, isn't it? When you develop the tone of voice, it's not just a one liner. You know, one sentence statement, like, you know, sound casual or etc. There's a lot more to it, right?
Yeah. So essentially, you want to put together a brand voice guide. But first, you kind of need to go back to the first step, which would be reviewing your brand persona. And so have a chat with, you know, key stakeholders and customers and your partners, employees, you know, everybody related to your brand, and ask them. There's a series of questions that you could ask them, like what is the purpose of our company's communications? What do you like about our personality? What do you dislike about it? And one of my favorite questions is, if our company was a person, who would they be and why? And one of my clients recently answered this question for me, and they gave a really lengthy description about how they would be like Chris Hadfield, which was just awesome. And they were describing how they were both Canadians, and they were both Chris Hadfield is not just an astronaut, but he's a speaker, a singer, a father, and they're kind of like him, because they're, you know, they're not just in one area. They have different specialties and help customers in different ways. It was just really great. And that's really fun question.
And would you use that then to develop tone of voice, like when you write for them, do you picture, like, you know, as if it wasn't you talking, but their actual persona, or how does that work then?
Yeah, so you can imagine like how Chris Hadfield would talk, and just kind of a very engaging style that he has, and then you could bring some of that into
awesome. Your that's actually a great approach. Okay, so we have the, you know, we have the brand persona, and we're building the tone of voice. So we've reviewed that, you know, we kind of, you know, we researched how the audience is you know, what sort of language the audience is using. And I agree, it's hugely important, particularly, like, you know, in technology, because there is the, this very often there's a discrepancy in terminology, isn't it? Like, your customers are talking about, are actually calling, you know, what you do in one way, whereas you think you actually do something else, or actually you use a different label. That's what I'm trying to say. But and even though the two mean the same, there is a discrepancy, right? So we've done that. So what's the, like, the what would be the next step? We, you know, we have those two elements. Where we go, you know, next? Where do we go next?
Yeah, so once you do all that research, you want to start putting together the different elements of your brand voice. And so there are a bunch of questions that you could ask here, such as, what are your company values? For example, do you value innovation? Are you forward thinking? Do you value helping customers? And all kinds of things like that that you could include in your list of values. Another good question is, why do you do what you do? What do you want to achieve? How do you want to help? Let's see here. What pain do you solve for your customers? And then when it comes to specific words, what words do you like? What words do you dislike? I know, you know, there's personally, I think the word solution is overused. A lot of times it's used when it could be, when you could be a little bit more specific. And then, you know, just what do you like? What don't you like? Do you want to be formal or conversational? And what makes you different? So those are some things that you could ask when defining your brand voice, as well as, you know, are you, how do you feel about strong language? You know, some companies are okay with it, putting it into their marketing, and some would never would do anything like that.
Yeah. Do you sometimes ask your clients about, you know, just to give you, like, samples of stuff they found online that sounds almost like as if, you know, as they would like to sound, or do you generally try to just, you know, work from the information they provide without looking at any reference materials?
I like to look at different reference materials. I always ask them for their site links to their top three competitors, so I can see how their competitors are positioning themselves and where there's opportunities to sound different and better. And I also ask them sometimes for if they're putting together a voice, what companies they like, even if it's not necessarily a company in their industry, they could look towards other companies just for ideas and inspiration. And then what they don't like. Usually they know what they don't like, but they haven't really thought so much about what they do like.
Yeah, it's quite common. Listen, I have a question for you. Actually, two questions. Actually, before I ask this one, there's another one here I want to ask. Do you revise the tone of voice? Would you revise it? So say, you know, you've developed a tone of voice last year when, you know, your product, and you know, as with many SaaS companies, products go through many stages of iterations, and, you know, there's pivoting and changing strategies, changing the dropping functionality, changing audiences even, you know, sometimes to actually, you know, halfway through the development, the company decides there's actually better market for this product somewhere else, changing it. So, you know, you've developed a tone of voice, and we're specifically talking about, you know, content, blog posts, articles. So, you know, you want to sound, for instance, very, very casual. And then, even if your product doesn't change, do you go back and revise tone of voice for your clients, or once it's said, it's done, you know, they can change direction, change anything, but the tone of voice has been set, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely want to revisit your voice, because finding a voice isn't something that you just do once and then and then that's it. You know, things will happen in the market, new competitors will come out, you know, there will be big changes, and maybe you want to update your voice. A lot of my clients, when they, you know, they're not startups, they've been around for a while, but if they're releasing a new product or going into a new market, suddenly they have to rethink how they want to talk about themselves or talk about the new product. So that's where tone of voice comes in.
And here's that other question. You know, how do you think audiences you know, have changed in the last couple of years in terms of reading content. And because obviously we used to write content differently like 5 years ago than we write now. And do you see like any major changes that affect you know, where tone of voice really comes into play? I'm certainly one of the things I could say is that people no longer really read content. They just skim it, right? So having so you really, I think personally, you really need to be conversational and you really need to be quick and say things straight, really, you know, as they are, without actually using too many words. But is there anything else on your end?
Yeah, I mean, I know that there's been some research out that said that by 2020, the customers will conduct the majority of their interactions with a company without actually speaking to somebody within the company. So that makes content even more important, because if they're not talking to your salespeople, you know, they're going to be getting their information somewhere. So you really have to make sure that you have that strong tone of voice
coming absolutely
in all
absolutely
of your written content.
Absolutely. It's almost like, you know, now your content will literally be doing all the talking for you, right? Cool. Listen, so this is fantastic. That's really it. This is, you know, that's just a very, very quick primer on tone of voice. Listen, thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
It's been great. So listen, thank you. Thanks very much, Rachel. Cheers.
Okay, cheers.
Bye.
Bye.